Morning, church, would you stand with us this morning?
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, it's constant in the trial and the change. One thing remains, this one thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
On and on it goes.
Because on and on and on and on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never, ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
In death and life,
in death and life, I'm confident and covered by the power. Gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
On and on it goes.
Because on and on. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never, ever have to be afraid. One thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me.
Your love never fails, sing it out.
Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Never runs out on me. Your love. Your
Amen. Give him praise. Woo. Love never fails. Amen. Good to see you guys today. My name is Micah. Welcome to LifeBridge. Just excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Anybody going to watch some football today? Been thinking about football, watching, you know, we hear a lot about the Bears at this church, but what about them Rams is what I was asking, because it's California, yeah, you know. So, it's an exciting Sunday there. But we just started our night service last week. How many of you made it out to the 6 o'clock service there? Great. So we got, it's a different worship team. It's a different experience. The service, the message is different. So, if you're wanting a little more tonight, I'd love to see you at 6 o'clock tonight. So I'm going to open this up in a word of prayer and we'll get going here. So, Lord, we thank you this morning that your love never fails. It never gives up, Lord. You are relentless in your pursuit of us. And we just praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for your spirit, that we do everything by your spirit, Lord. And we just give you all of our things that we're holding back from you today. We just give them to you because you are worthy. And we just are thankful to be in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Water, you turn. Water, you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. No one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. No one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Yeah. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. If our God is for us, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against? Our God is greater. Sing it out, church. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, he's an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Yes, he is. Amen. We thank you, Lord. You are truly awesome. You are worthy of our praise. You are greater, mightier than any. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Not by my power, by your spirit, God, send your spirit, God, not by might, not by power.
We stand.
We stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of you. Not by might, not by power, by your Spirit, God. Sometimes we come up against these things in our life. You are going to so appreciate the word that pastor's going to give you. Oh my God, you're going to so appreciate it. It is an empowering word. We come up against these things in our life, and sometimes we just try to wrestle them, we try to muscle them, and God's word says it's not by might and it's not by power. You can't make it happen. You can't make it happen, but it is by my Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, send your Spirit to that situation. Yes. Send your Spirit to that depression, to that addiction, to that marital strife, to that child that has gone wayward. Lord, send your Spirit.
Yes.
It is by your Spirit, oh God, that we stand in awe of you. We thank you for your Spirit. You know, there's a scripture that says that same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead now lives in you. That's the word. He can resurrect that thing.
Let's sing "We Stand in Awe of You" one more time, church.
We stand in awe of you.
This morning, church, if you have a prayer need, a prayer request in your heart, if you're dealing with fear this morning, we're going to learn about how to deal with fear. If you need some prayer this morning, to meet some folks in back, I'd love to pray with you.
Yeah, there once was crowned with thorns, is crowned with glory now. The Savior now to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see.
Your name.
Your name, your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. He's resurrecting me. He's resurrecting me.
The tomb where soldiers match.
Victory, all praise will rise to Christ our King. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is res. Lift your voices. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. He's resurrecting me. By your Spirit, Lord, you're resurrecting me. It's not by might, but by your Spirit.
Praise his name, church. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for your Spirit, for your goodness this morning. Would you continue just in meeting us in your message and the heart of what you've given today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Before you get seated, why don't you say hi to the person next to you there.
Good morning, Lightbridge. It always seems to work better in two. Good morning, Lightbridge. There it is. My name is Jason Smith. I'm the Outreach and Youth Director here at Lightbridge, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you this morning. Especially if you're a guest, I want to give you a big, warm welcome. And Lightbridge, can we give all of our guests that are here today a big, warm welcome for everybody? Amen. Amen. And guests, right in the seat back in front of you, we got these connection cards. If it's on your heart and you'd like to fill it out, we would love for you to turn this into our guest relations center at the end of service out in the front lobby. We would like to give you a small gift for just being here today. And we just want to thank you. And for everybody that's here today, on the back is a prayer request. You know, it could be a need or it could just be just give us something to praise God about that's in your life. We would love as a staff to pray for you during the week. We go through these every day. We pray for you every day. We're just committed into just loving on you and praying for you. And, you know, here at Lightbridge, we believe in three things, right? Trusting God, loving others, and giving hope. So as we transfer into time and tithe and offerings today, I want to invite you guys to take out your cell phones, check into social media, and let everybody know that you're here today at Lightbridge. You chose to serve God today. And just tell somebody on your Facebook, on your Instagram, that you just love them today. As I was preparing for this, in January, I tend to just reflect. And I reflected back where was I this time last year? And for some of you who know and don't know, my fiance was fighting for her life last year. She's my wife today, but back then she was my fiance, amen? I went from being a blind single father of one to being a blind single father of five. That meant I could not always be here, right? That meant there was a lot thrown on my plate. And as I was thinking about this, I was just like, wow, I'm too prideful to ask for help, right? I'm too prideful to say, you know what, I need help. I need compassion. I need love right now. And God showed me Philippians chapter 4, where Paul is talking to the Philippians and he was praising them for giving to him. Even though he wasn't asking or they didn't need to, they kept giving to him. No matter where he was at, they kept sending him gifts. And as a church, as a congregation, without me even asking, my phone wouldn't stop ringing. My doorbell wouldn't stop ringing. People brought me food. People came over and prayed for me. It was a hard time in my life. And it brought me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where it says, "And God will supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory of Jesus Christ." Amen? God will be there for all our needs. We don't even have to ask. He just provides. So as we're getting ready to get our tithe and offerings today, I just want you guys to remember that one thing. You know, this is more than just holding up these four walls. It's holding up a community. It's holding up a nation. When we give to God, it gives God the ability to do what he's here to do, and that is bring people to his glory, not our glory, but his glory. So as we take this offering today, I just want you guys to keep that in mind, that it's about his glory, not ours. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us, everything that you continue to do for us. And as we gather this offering, Lord, we ask that you just multiply it, not just by dollar and cents, but by salvations of people who know you, Father God. For people to come to know your glory, to know your love, to know your grace and your mercy, Father God. The church has many needs. The community has many more. So, Lord, as you bless it for the church, as you bless it for the community, as you give us the heart to bless the nations, Father God, we just ask that you continue just to work in our lives. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi everyone, thank you for joining us. My name is Robin and here's what's going on at LifeBridge Community Church. Life groups have started every Wednesday night and it's not too late to join. Join us at the Connection Center for more information on how to join one of these wonderful groups. Join us February 6th, Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. for our de-escalation course being held at the Police Science Institute. Sign up at the Connection Center if you are interested. If you have been wanting to take your faith to the next level, join us Sunday, February 10th for our water baptism being held at our Revive service at 6 p.m. The Art of Marriage seminar is going to be February 15th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. on Friday. The seminar will continue on Saturday, February 16th from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. The cost is $60 per couple. It includes lunch on Saturday and workbooks. For all this and more, join us at the Connection Center. Have a great day, LifeBridge.
Ready for your best year yet? Come on now. This will be your best year yet. It really can be. I mean, you think, well, how can this year be any better than last year? And how can every year be our best year yet? With God, all things are possible. Amen. With God, each and every year should be more exciting, more thrilling, not always perfect, not always great, right? But it can be the most adventurous year ever, and this can be year for you to accomplish the things that God wants you to do. And that's what this entire series is about during the month of January, is kind of setting the tone for the year on what it can be like. And so, and it's good, this good time of the year to be able to kind of take stock, kind of evaluate what our last year was like, what 2018 was like, and what kind of changes God wants to make in your life in this year in 2019. And today we're going to talk about how we can avoid allowing fear control our decisions in our life. And so the title of the message today is, "This is your year to be free from fear." You don't have to let fear control you anymore. And so we're going to talk about today about how we don't have to let fear control the decisions that we make on a day-to-day basis. Most of you know, if you've been coming to the church for a while, that my mom and dad live back in Illinois. They're kind of going through a tough time right now. My dad has been in the late stage of Alzheimer's for quite a while now. So my mom has been his primary caregiver. And she is just recently diagnosed within the last 6 weeks with stage 4 incurable, untreatable cancer. And it's all over her body. And so she's getting weaker and weaker by the day. So I've been helping them out as much as I can. It's been a rough season, but a few days ago they felt good enough to be able to go out, and they don't really get out that much. In fact, about within the last year, my mom and dad have maybe been out about a half dozen times. And so, because my dad is in the late stages of Alzheimer's, he can't really talk like he used to be able to talk. He can't hold a conversation. His vocabulary has really been shrunk down to just a few phrases and a few sentences. And so, because of that, he can't really talk all that much, and he can't really get up and walk anymore. He has to get around in a wheelchair. And so I was helping him into the car because my mom actually felt a little bit good enough to be able to go out that day. And so I was helping my dad when I wheeled him out into the right down the ramp and wheeled him up next to the car to get into the car. And he was in his wheelchair, and because he hasn't been out a lot, he was really scared of getting into the car. He thought for sure he was going to fall, right? And so I said, "Dad, you want to go out for a drive?" And he's like, no. And I'm thinking, okay, well, Lord, please help me. How can I get my dad motivated to help me to lift him up? Because I'm a pretty strong guy, right? I think I am anyway. So, but I can't let that. I'm going to need his help to help him get up out of the wheel. I need his cooperation. If you're ever a caregiver, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You need the cooperation of the person to kind of help you a little bit. And he kept saying, no, because he was afraid. He was so afraid of falling, right? And so I had to continually motivate him to try to get them. So he really felt like if he got into the car, like he would fall down, right? And so finally I got him motivated enough. I said, "Dad, you want to go for a ride?" And he said, "Okay." And then I said, "Are you hungry?" And that was it right there. That was the motivation. How many of you know hunger is a good motivation, right? And he said, "Yeah, hungry, 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 hungry," is what he said. And I said, "Okay, so I'm going to help you, but can you help me? Ready on three. 1, 2, 3. Whoop." And he was like, "Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa," and I got him in. And then he said, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." It was awesome, man. And even in the late stages of Alzheimer's, you know, he of course, is a Christian, and you know, I'm so glad he remembers those things to praise the Lord. Amen? You know? And you might think, well, that's not a big deal. Why was he so afraid of getting in the car because you were there to help him or anything? It was a real fear for him, right? And so for him, it was a small fear. But, for you and I, it might be a small fear, rather. But for him, it was a big fear, right? It would have kept him from going out. And one of the things he used to love to do, he used to love to go out and drive, just be out. And so I just enjoyed being out in the car, you know, and driving around and everything. And so because he overcame his fear, he was able to have a good day out. In fact, it was a lot of work for me because both of them now are disabled. And so, you know, I had to take them. First of all, we went and got their haircuts because he looked like a barista from Oregon with a big beard down to here, and his hair was all down to here, and so, because he hasn't been out much, and then my mom needed a haircut, so we went to the haircut place for his great clips, and then we went to Walmart, and then I followed my mom around. My mom was in the electric buggy. I've got pictures, not up here. I maybe should have put pictures up just so you can see what I'm talking about. She was in the electric buggy, and then he was in the wheelchair, and I had the shopping cart, so I had the wheelchair in one hand and the shopping cart for 2.5 hours. I carted him around Walmart, and then after that, we went to Perkins, because the cancerous tumor is closing her throat off. She can't eat hardly anything except for soup, but she can eat an omelet. And how many of you heard of Perkins before? Anybody heard of Perkins? A few of us. It's more of a Midwest restaurant, but she loves Perkins, and so we took her to Perkins, and she ate an omelet. So we went to the Great Cliffs, we went to Walmart, and we went to Perkins, and let me tell you, I was exhausted by the day's end, but it was a good thing. And the only reason why we were able to do that, because my dad was able to overcome his fear, but I'm wondering, like, so there are things in our lives that kind of keep us from doing the things that God wants us to do, right? There's fears in our life that maybe for other people it might seem small, like, you can't do that. But for us, it's a real fear, right? And so we're going to talk about today on how we don't have to let fear control our decisions and hold us back in our life anymore. So today, I want you to know this more than anything else. either you will control your fear or your fear will control you. Either you will control your fear or your fear will control you. It's one or the other, really. The root cause of all evil in this world is fear. And many problems can be traced back to fear in our lives. Fear actually reduces our capacity to love other people. Fear actually destroys relationships in our life. In fact, much of our world's problems can be because of fear. And here at LifeBridge, as Jason talked to you about, our purpose statement here, the reason why we exist is to trust God and to love others and to give hope, right? That's why we're here. This is why we come to church every single Sunday. This is why we attend life groups. This is why we serve in our community. This is why we serve in our church other people, is because we trust God, we love others, and give hope. But I'm here to tell you today that at the beginning of 2019, the thing that would derail God's purpose statement for this church more than anything else is fear. And here's how fear destroys each of those three elements. Number one, fear will stop us from obeying God. When it talks about this, when we talk about this, you have continually trusting God with our life. Fear will derail us from all of these. So what fear does is fear stops us from obeying God, which causes us to not to trust God more. You see, if we're going to trust God, at the very core of trusting God is obeying him. In other words, doing what he wants you to do. So now, I don't know how many we've had, 300 or so people here so far this morning. We got another service tonight. We'll have more, maybe close to 400 by the day's end, right? And out of all those 400 people or so that we'll have here in the building today, we, each and every one of us, have one step of obedience that God wants us to take. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter if you are a disciple of Christ. You could be a seeker of Christ, right? All of us have a step that God wants us to take. Now, when we choose to not take those steps, our trust level in God goes greatly down. If you want to trust God to a greater degree in 2019, the best thing for you to do is to start with the next step of obedience. For some of you, it's tithing 10% of your income or getting back on that financial horse of doing what God wants you to do. For some of you, it's forgiving somebody. For some of you, it's actually doing what God wants you to do in terms of talking to your friends about Jesus, right? For some of you, it's forgiving somebody. It's giving grace to somebody when they don't deserve grace, right? And so when we choose not to obey God, it's because we're fearful, because we somehow think that when we obey God, that life will no longer be fun. Or that we'll have less money if we tithe, which is actually the antithesis if you really get to know the Bible, because it says in the Bible, the more you give, the more you what? The more you what? So the less you give, the less what? Come on, I've got about five people saying this, but it's true, right? This is what the Bible says. I know our culture says something different. But when we obey God, we think so. We're so afraid of doing, of forgiving. We're so afraid of giving. We're so afraid of embracing that new step that God has for us. We're so afraid of committing our time, right? Because we're like, I'm going to lose all this popularity. I'm going to lose all of this if I obey God. And so we're fearful. And it will derail your ability to trust God. And if you're part of our church, it's going to derail God's purpose statement for this church. That's what fear does and how it destroys our ability to trust God. How fear destroys our capacity to love other people is, by and large, fear causes insecurity in relationships. We're going to talk more about that in just a couple minutes. But fear will greatly reduce our ability to love other people in this church and to love people in the community as well. Thirdly, what fear does when it comes to this component of giving hope, fear says you have to take care of your own first and you have to live for yourself. You don't have time to do an outreach. You don't have time to go to the schools. You don't have time to serve at the Pavarello House. You don't have time to do all these other service areas of ministry. You have no time to give hope to the community around you. You got to take care of yourself, and then you can give hope. The problem is you've been saying that to yourself for years now. I'm in a season. Well, don't let your season become a lifestyle. And so fear, though, robs us of our ability to give hope to other people. And so I really feel like I shared this last week in all three services, that I really feel like the word for our church for this year is discipleship. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? It means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It means to be a learner, that you're constantly learning more and more about God's character. You're growing in your knowledge of the Word of God. And I'm really happy to report to you that many of you know we've recently made some changes in the church to kind of help get us set up for what I feel like God's doing in our church this year. Number one, we moved the time of the first service. And by the way, I'm happy to report to you, our attendance is up these last 2 weeks in our first service, which is awesome, which is really cool. And if you're a second service person, you know that we've been packed out in our 11 o'clock service, which means we can't grow in our 11 o'clock service. But right now, look around you right now. Look around. What do you see? Empty seats. That means we can grow in our second service, right? We can reach more people now, which is great, because some of the people who are coming to second service are now looping in just on Sunday nights alone. Now, we want you to come to both, but we also want if some people can't come Sunday morning, to make Sunday night their thing. And so what we're doing on Sunday nights is more of a discipleship-oriented topics that, like tonight, we're going to be talking about redemption and what redemption means. And then our Wednesday night format has shifted to life groups, and we have a lot of our life groups on Wednesday nights, some on Thursday nights, some other nights of the week. But I'm happy to report to you today that in the entire history, a 14-year history of our church, we had the highest life group attendance we've ever had. Can we give God glory for that? Which means some of you are really doing a good job of applying yourself and wanting to learn more about who God is. And so I'm happy to see that. And I really believe as we grow deeper as a church, we're going to grow wider in terms of our outreach and our influence in our community. And we're so super excited about that. So now, what would it look like this morning to have a life completely free from fear? To where fear would not dominate your decisions. Now, I think it's almost impossible to have no fear at all, right? In fact, there are some types of fears in life that can be generative. They can be healthy fears. For example, if you're doing a lousy job at your workplace, if you're not producing, guess what? You should be afraid you're going to lose your job. Come on now, how many bosses can say amen? Imagine who say amen, right? Yeah, this person's not cutting the mustard, you know, they're not doing a good job here, you know, and so they really need to figure this thing out, right? And so, or if you are living in sin right now and you are afraid of the consequences, you should be afraid of the consequences if you're living in sin right now. If you're habitually sinning, you should be concerned. You should be fearful about that, right? Those are good, healthy fears to have. But what I'm talking about today are toxic fears, fears that keep us back from becoming the man, the woman, the teenager that God has called us to be. And so before we go any further, I want you to take 20 seconds right now. How many of you have the programs in your hands? Raise them up real high. Okay, what I want you to do, take 20 seconds right now. I want you to write down, at this moment, what is your greatest fear? Write that on the paper right now. What is your greatest fear? It could be the fear of what will happen to your kids, the fear of your business failing, a fear of financial inadequacy, a fear of being abandoned by your spouse, a fear of what other people think of you, a fear of not having enough money. One of the biggest fears people have is dying. And a lot of people fear simply being alone, especially inside of a relationship. They fear being alone. But today, I want us together to declare as a church that this is our year to be free from fear. And so here's how fear reduces our capacity to love other people, to trust God, and to give hope. Is number one, fear actually freezes us. Fear freezes us. Fear stops us in our track and it paralyzes us. We're going to take a quick look at the story of David and Goliath. So many of you know David and Goliath. You heard of the story. So we're just going to touch on this story today from the Old Testament. And here's what happened. A lot of you know that for a while this giant named Goliath would come out and taunt the Israelites. They would taunt them and say, yeah, your God is a nobody God. He's a nothing God, and you guys are the scum of the earth, and you're dirt bags. And Goliath would come out and make fun of the troops, and the Israelites were just frozen. They were frozen. And in chapter 17, verse 23 of 1 Samuel, it says, while they were talking together, the Philistine champion Goliath of Gath stepped out from the front lines of the Philistines and gave his usual challenge. David heard him. The Israelites, to a man, fell back the moment they saw the giant, totally frightened. And I don't know about you, but it seems like the enemy of our soul, the giants in our life, particularly the devil, will issue this usual challenge to the people of God. And it could be much different, probably is different than right here, right? But there's some type of giant in your life that's causing a lot of fear. And what it's doing is it's paralyzing you. It's freezing you here this morning. And so there's this usual challenge. And for some people, it may look a little bit like this. Who are you think you should go to church? You're not a goody two-shoe. You're not a church-going type. And, you know, why would you want to attend church? Why should you attend Life Group? Or why should you serve God in ministry? You'll never be able to do those things. You'll never be able to be the good dad. You'll never be able to be the good mom. You'll never be able to be the grandma, the grandpa. And the devil comes in various ways and issues his usual challenge to us. And what it does is it puts us and it freezes us. And we get so scared that we just stop everything. And this is what happens. Mark Batterson, in his book called Play the Man, it's a book that a group of men that are studying, I meet with a group of men at Panera here in Shaw at 8 o'clock. If you're a guy and you want to come and get up on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock at Panera, I would welcome you to come. We're studying this book called Play the Man right now by Mark Batterson. And he put, this is the way how he said fear works. This is what he says. Fear is letting your circumstance come between you and God. That's what fear is. And this is what the Philistines did. The Philistines chose to let their fear come between, or their circumstance come between them and God. And here's the deal. The Israelites had known that God had done miracles for them in the past. They knew, they'd seen God do these amazing things, right? But yet at the same time, they were allowing this Goliath to come between them and their God. And so they became so focused on Goliath that they forgot about the relationship with God. However, here's what faith says. Faith says, faith is letting God come between you and your circumstance. And as we read the story, as we know, most of us know the story, David allowed his faith to enter into the equation, and he let God become between him and Goliath. But I believe there are some of you here today, you're acting more like the Israelites who were frozen. You're letting your fear get in between. You're letting fear wreck, ruin your relationship with God. And it's time for you to stop. No other way to put it. It's time for you to stop because it's ruining your marriage. It's ruining your relationship with your kids. It's ruining your relationship with your friends at church. It's ruining your relationship with your neighbors. It's ruining your ability to be able to do the academics that God's called you to do. It's ruining your capacity to be able to be the man, the woman, the person that God has called you to be. And it's time for you to stop letting fear get in the way of you and your relationship with God. That's a good place for you to stand up on your chairs and start waving your hankies at me right now. Come on. Oh, maybe that's tonight in the Sunday night service. I forgot. I mean, it's true. And you just gotta make a decision. That's it. I'm done. I'm done letting Goliath freeze my life. I'm done letting this fear control my life. It's not a valid fear. My dad had a lot of fear, right, of getting into that car, right? Was it a valid fear? No, it wasn't a valid fear because I was there for him, right? I knew that I could get him into the car. He had this fear, but it was an invalid fear. It was a fear that was not even going to come about, right? And this is how many of us live our lives. We have this great fear in our life that's freezing us, and there's no reason to. Because your son isn't there to pick you up, but you have the creator of the universe to carry you into the car this morning. You got God who made everything to carry you into the car, but yet you're so stinking scared. Stop being so scared about that. I wonder how many entrepreneurs are here today that could start businesses that would help our community. I wonder how many ministries that have never started because of fear. I wonder how about the number of people that would never know God because of other Christians' insecurity in their life. Fear paralyzes by demanding all the attention. That's what Goliath effectively did with the Israelites for several days in a row. He commanded all the attention from the Israelites and got their attention off of God. And they could put it onto himself. And this is what your fear is doing in your life, your Goliath is doing. He's getting all the attention off of God and putting it onto himself. And you're so scared. But here's what Romans 8 says. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And so So what God is wanting you to get here today is he's wanting you to know that, number one, you can't let fear freeze us and freeze you in your life. Here's the other thing that fear does is fear takes away our confidence. Fear takes away our confidence. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 10, it says this: I challenge the troops of Israel this day. Give me a man. Let us fight it out together. When Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and they lost all hope. Here's what happens. Our giant of fear in our life taunts us until we're stripped of every ounce of confidence. And so our life becomes driven by fear so much that we find ourselves responding to situations like never before. We can't let fear dictate our decisions in 2019. And so when you live your life from the premise of fear versus love, it causes all sorts of dysfunction in your life. And so today in 2019, are you making a decision based on fear, or are you making it based on love? Here's a few things of how fear can really cause damage in our capacity to love other people and have good relationships. Number one, fear causes jealousy in our lives. There's all sorts of jealousy. When somebody is jealous, they're often not content with their life. They're not content with what they have. They look at other people. They look at other marriages. They look at other families. And they think, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. Wouldn't that be nice? And I tell you, Instagram and Facebook can be awesome tools, but they can also be a breeding ground for great amounts of jealousy and envy. And you have to know that jealousy and envy are rooted, the root cause of that is fear, because you're fearful. You're afraid that what you have isn't good enough. You're afraid of your marriage that's not good enough. You're afraid that your kids aren't good enough, right? You're afraid that your position, your stature in life, your influence, your where you're at in your life is not good enough. And so you're so afraid of that. But the Apostle Paul commends us to be content in any and all circumstance. Another thing that fear causes is anger. When somebody is angry, they're fearful that they have lost control or are losing control, and they use anger and hostility to try to regain control. What do they do when somebody's angry? They raise their voice. I said, take out the trash, right? Dads would, you know, because they feel like when they said it nicely to the kids the first time, they didn't listen, right? And so the parent has felt like they've lost control, so they feel like they got to raise their voice a little bit more. And then somehow, some way, if that anger will kind of motivate them. So, and that's why people get angry, because they actually feel like they've lost control of the situation. This is why husbands and wives argue, and this is why they become angry. This is why yelling takes place in relationships, is because they feel like one side is losing, feels like they're losing. They feel like they're losing control. They don't have the upper hand. They feel like, oh, then all of a sudden this person, so they gotta yell, and then they gotta yell, and then whoosh, World War III happens, right? This happens with our daughters all the time. Over hair straighteners, amen. Right? So I have three daughters in the house, dude. It's like drama city, man. I'm just kidding. They're great kids, but they're all girls. So, but this is what happens in relationships. We get so mad, we get so angry, and so we're fearful, right? And so fear, we feel like we're losing control, and so we become angry. Another thing fear causes is fear causes gossip. When somebody gossips, their security in their life comes from being in the know, having the latest information on somebody. They're fearful that their life has no value and no purpose, and so they have to be busybodies, right? They have to have their nose in everybody else's business so that they can feel like they have some power, they have some authority, because they know what's going on in everybody's life. If they know what's going on in everybody's life, they're so miserable with their life, they have no purpose in their life. But if they're in the know, right, they feel like, whoa, hey, so-and-so, they know everything about everybody. Let's go talk to them. Oh, they know everything about the leadership. You know, and so gossip, right? It makes you feel like you're in control, right? And the problem is with gossip, though, again, the root cause is fear, because you're afraid. You're afraid that people will actually get to know you and who you are. You're afraid that once people get to know who you and you are, that they won't like you, right? When the exact opposite is true. So if you know somebody that gossips a lot, and by the way, anybody that gossips a lot, raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about? How many years they're sitting in this building? No, because they're not, because we don't gossip at this church, right? Come on now. Nobody gossips at this church, right? Nobody does, right? because we're all secure and we know we are. We're not letting fear dictate and control our life. Fear also causes worry. We tell ourselves a story when we're placed in a situation or circumstance that's hard for us. We are put into a circumstantial situation and we create a false narrative in our mind. We create a story in our mind that's actually not even true. We think of like, whoa, man, those people at work, they really think this of me and they think that of me. And, oh, these people at church, they think this of me, they think that of me. And, like, if you would just ask them, you're like, dude, no. What are you thinking? And we create these false narratives in our mind, right? And so fear causes us to worry. Here's what I know. You'll never be confident if your life is characterized with jealousy, anger, gossip, and worry. You will never be free from fear. Tomorrow, the church office is closed in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I was checking out some of his messages this past week, reading through some of his sermons. He actually had a lot to say about fear. And I was thinking about that. What if Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. allowed his fear to control his life? Now, how many believe that we still experience racism in our culture today? Amen? Like all of us do, right? To some level, to some degree, right? And I believe a lot of racism is systemic. It's kind of built into our system in America here, right? And I'm learning more and more about that. And we would still all agree that racism is still a problem to this day, right? But imagine if Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would let his fears control him, we would be in a much worse situation today than we are right now. Now, by any means, I'm saying like things are good right now. Things are still not great, right? But they would be really horrible if it weren't for the contributions of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We're so thankful and grateful for his contributions. He was a man of God. He was a person of prayer. He loved Jesus, and he was a great preacher. And he had a lot of things to say about fear. And one of the things he said about fear kind of goes right in line exactly with what I'm talking about. Here's, in one of his sermons, here's what he had to say about fear. The truth is not without a bearing on our personal anxieties. We are afraid of the superiority of other people. We're afraid of failure, and we're afraid of the scorn or the disapproval of those opinions we value the most. Envy, jealousy, a lack of self-confidence, a feeling of insecurity, and a haunting sense of inferiority are all rooted in fear. We do not envy people and then fear them. We first fear them, and then we become jealous of them. Boy, you hit the nail on the head there. I wish I could just talk like he talked, though. How many of you ever could just listen to Dr. Martin Luther King preach? I wish I could talk like he talked, but I can't. I'm going to do me. I'm not going to do him. But I can just imagine him saying this, right? And then he goes on to say, is there a cure for these annoying fears that pervert our personal lives? And I believe that there's some annoying fears that are actually perverting your personal life here today. That's why God brought you here. You're here, somebody might have brought you, maybe you've never been to church before, or maybe you're kind of new to church or whatever, or maybe you're just getting back into church. I don't know how, whatever reason you are here today, but you're here today because God wants you to know that those fears in your life, whatever you wrote down there a couple minutes ago, it's perverting your life. It's taking you off course. It's getting you way off whack of what God wants you to be. And then he goes on to say this, and he said, is there a cure for this, right? And then he said, yes, there is a cure. A deep, abiding commitment to the way of love. And then he ends this portion of his sermon by saying this, perfect love cast out all fear. And then, so he was quoting a Bible verse from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And so today, how can you allow love to invade your life to where it will literally drive out the fear? I think we take the wrong approach to say, God, deliver me of this fear, deliver me of this fear, deliver me of this fear. And that's probably an okay thing to say, I guess, right? But maybe even better to pray, say, God, fill me up so much with your love that it just literally drives out all the fear in my life. That it just literally rids my life of all the fear where I'm not controlled by fear anymore. I'm going to allow those decisions in my life. So here's just a few quick ways as we conclude this morning of how we can keep fear from destroying relationships in our life. Number one, don't forget. We don't have time to read that verse of scripture there, but you can talk about that, or you can read that later on, talk about that with your family. Don't forget The problem is with the Israelites, they forgot how God delivered them in the past. They let Goliath scare them so much, they forgot how God had delivered them. And so think about the times in your life where God has done miracles. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you have seen God do something great or something awesome in your life in the past? Raise your hand today. Okay, again, a good majority of us, right? Think about that. Think about that. And that will give you great confidence. Number two. Along with that, before I go to number two, David remembered, and we don't have time to read this verse of Scripture, but David, in essence, was saying, when he was talking to King Saul, he was saying, listen, I've killed bears and lions. I've been taking care of these sheep here, and I've had bears and lions attack me. If I've been able to somehow, some way, with a slingshot, take out a bear and take out a lion, then this Goliath is no problem for me, right? And that's the same kind of prayer, that same kind of language you need to use. By the way, we don't have time to talk about this too much, but when it comes to your fear, the language you use, the language you speak is so critical, especially if you have children in the home. Even if you're scared of something, don't express that. Or express it, but then put a caveat of, but we trust in the Lord, baby. We trust in the Lord. We don't know how this is going to work out, but we love the Lord. And somehow, some way, God's going to work this thing out. Now, how many believe there's seats need to be filled this morning, right? How many are going to help me fill these seats next week at 11 o'clock? I'm going to bring your friends, your family, right? People need to hear this, right? And so we have to say, God, help me to remember what you've done in my life so I will never, ever forget. Number two, let God strengthen you. Here's what Isaiah 41 says. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Let God strengthen you in your life. There's a verse of Scripture that I have in my wall. I took a picture of it before I left, and this is right before I leave my office. Every time I walk out of my office, this sign smacks me in the face. And it's from Isaiah chapter 41, where it says, "Fear not, for I am with you." And so I encourage you to do things like that, okay? Instead of having sayings of Buddha or Gandhi up in your house, put some Scripture on your wall, amen? Instead of having inspirational sayings from people, which is okay, I guess, but but go ahead and put some Scripture up on your wall. Put it up in your mirror. Put the Word of God, as that gets into you, it'll help you in your life. And then lastly here this morning, what we can do is we can run towards our fear. And so we find here in verse 48 of that same chapter, it says, that roused the Philistine, and he started toward David, and David took off from that front line. And I always, anytime I read this story, this really, because basically, Goliath kept giving it to the Israelites for several days, and the Israelites kept taking it. And David, like the least likely person, the most ruddiest of the person, is the one who was not the most good looking, the most handsome, not the best warrior. All of a sudden, David, the least likely one, was like, why are you guys letting them make fun of our God? Why are you doing that? And so David started to give it back to Goliath. And he actually threatened Goliath. He said, by the day's end, I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to I'm going to do all this. And so then we pick up here in the Scripture, it says, then that roused the Philistine. Then the Philistine, Goliath, was mad. He's like, who are you, little punk, to say that you're going to cut my head off? I'm going to come get you, bro. Boom, 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 boom. You can imagine, right? You can imagine the ground shaking. And then, I don't know if you're David, but the Philistines right now, you're David over here on the other side, and you're thinking, you know, I might have been like, okay, let's kind of get our plan of attack here better. let's try to rethink this thing, God, right now. Is there another way, God, you can do this? Can you just strike him dead without me having to do anything? I mean, imagine being David. But no, it says in the Bible, David, so when the Philistines started running toward him, David actually started running toward the giants. Talk about faith. Talk about a boldness. My friends, this is the type of faith, this is the type of boldness that it's going to take to change our communities. This is going to type of faith, the type of obedience it's going to take to see the drug addiction go down in our community, to see alcoholism eradicated in our communities, to see the homelessness issue eradicated in our communities. Thank God for government help, but government doesn't have all the answers. This type of faith, this bold type of faith, that's not from us, but it's from on high, is the type of thing that we need. So today, it starts with you literally running toward your giant and running toward that fear today. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes with me today? Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place this morning. I thank you that, God, that you are here in such a powerful way to release us into the life that you have for us this year. I speak a blessing over each and every person. I pray that they would be live free from fear this year in the name of Jesus. This would be their year to be free from fear. With nobody looking around, all heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you're here today, say, Pastor Kevin, I've never known Jesus Christ in the way you've described. I've never had a personal relationship with God. I've attended church. Maybe like me, you grew up in a church that taught religion and taught you a bunch of works, but didn't say anything about a relationship. And so you've never, ever truly had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you the opportunity to invite Jesus into your life. I will not embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm simply asking you to invite Jesus into your life. You joined three people from the first service that said that for the first time today. If that's you on three, you're here right now. You say, Pastor Kevin, I want to do that. I want to give my life to Jesus today on three. All heads bowed and eyes closed on three. Raise your hand all across this place. One, two, three. Right now, all across this place this morning. Pastor Kevin, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ. Thank you so much over here. On the left-hand side, anybody join this one person over here on the right-hand side? God bless you. Two people. Anybody else? That's five people total today at our church. Amen. Anybody else? God bless you. Next, you're here today. You say, Pastor Kevin, I used to know God. I used to follow him. I used to serve him. But I've walked away from a relationship with him. And I want to recommit my life to Christ. If that's you, would you slip up your hand all across this place today? You want to recommit your life to Christ. Thirdly, you're here today. You say, I love God. But a fear has been freezing me. It's been paralyzing me. And I want the Lord to release me from that. If that's you today, would you lift up your hand all across this place? God bless you. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. First of all, I'm going to say a prayer of commitment to Christ. And so if you're here today and you never committed your life to Christ, whisper this prayer along with me today. Lord Jesus, I ask that you come into my life. I ask that you would change me, make me new, make me different. Right now, I just believe as I'm praying this prayer, there's some people that are listening to our Facebook Live that the Lord is really speaking to you. You've never known Christ before. And I believe right now as you're praying this prayer with us that the Lord is transforming your heart and changing your destiny right now. And Lord, I just give you my life today. Forgive me for all of my sins. Forgive me for all of my mistakes. I don't want to do those things anymore. Help me to live for you, God. I know I won't be perfect, but I know that you'll be in my life and you'll be in my heart and you'll make me better and better each and every day. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for me so I could live for you in your mighty name. And then next, Lord, I pray for this congregation of people. I pray for each person here. I pray for the people on Facebook Live. I pray they would be free from fear in the name of Jesus, that they remember this incredible story, Lord, from the Old Testament. In fact, I'm so excited because at the end of this year, our church gets to go to Israel together, Lord, and we get to see the spot where this happened, Lord, and how powerful that will be in our understanding of the Bible and our discipleship and our growing in you will grow so much as we go to Israel together. Thank you for that opportunity too, Lord. And so I just pray you deepen our faith today, Lord. We thank you so much for it, for we pray these things in the very precious and mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. LifeBridge Church, can we give God and those people that made a commitment a round of applause today? Amen. Yeah. So great. Listen, if you're a guest here today, or if you committed your life to Christ here today, we would love for you to stop by the guest relations table out as you leave today. Stop by to get some more information on your new walk with God. Or if you're a guest here today, you know God, and you can just get some more information about our church. We'd love for you to stop by there today on your way out. Check out our life groups on Wednesday night. They're really great life groups. Some of you, that's a good next step for you to get into. And then lastly, tonight, our 6 p.m. Revive service. I know you said, well, I've already been to church once. If you come to church twice, I mean, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. You're going to love it tonight. It's going to be great. 6 o'clock, we have full kids programs. The kids ministries are different than Sunday morning. Sunday morning is a large group format. Sunday night, it's more of a small group format. They do crafts as kids. They're memorizing the scriptures right now, both in the boys' ministries, Royal Rangers, and in the girls' ministries. My daughter, Lainey, is memorizing a verse of scripture right now. I'm so happy about that my kids are in a church that encourages them to memorize scripture. Amen? That's a great thing. And then our youth ministries are tonight. If you have a teenager, age 12 to 18, make sure they're here tonight as well. It's going to be a great night together. God bless you. Would you stand up right now? Turn to somebody, give them a great big high five, and say, have a great day. We love you so much. See you back tonight.